Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. That song's going to be in my head all day now. Probably okay, right? I've been doing some strength training over the last few months. And when I started back in February, I was taken back when my trainer said that the overall goal of this particular approach of strength training was failure. And I thought, well, that'll preach. The goal is failure. She wasn't talking about failure as in quitting. Obviously, I wouldn't get stronger that way. But she was talking about muscle failure, muscle fatigue, getting to the point where you feel tired, like you can't do it anymore. This particular type of training involves lots of weight but slow reps. So sometimes when I'm training, I feel really good, really strong, and I'm grateful for the opportunity that I have to work at it. And then sometimes I feel like I am losing my grip. Like my body and my mind can't do what my will wants to do. There are times when I feel like I'm in that situation and I just want some help, I feel helpless, and I know that I've gotten close to the goal, that is failure. Maybe you can think of a time when you felt like you were in a similar situation, close to failure, feeling like you needed some help, maybe helpless, losing your grip, waiting for results, loss of direction, vocationally speaking, complexity and aging, just feeling kind of out of it mentally or emotionally, grasping for health, a healthy pattern, navigating some kind of transition. The eighth graders at confirmation camp were awesome to be around for a week. I really appreciated their spirit, their genuine sense of joy, their boldness in giving camp a shot. I had asked them when we were there to do an exercise where they wrote on big post-it notes as they reflected about questions in life. And one of the questions was, "What is something that worries you or troubles you?" And many of them wrote this, that at eighth grade they're worried about messing up their futures. They're admitting to the reality they know that they're growing up in a culture of violence. And when I asked them if St. Andrew could contribute money or time in any one particular area in our community, where should we give it? And many of them said, mental health, mental wellness. I thought that was interesting to gauge where they were, because I know that's where a lot of us are as well. We have watched this week as floodwaters have washed away roads up north. It's just unreal looking at the picture, and how can something so like concrete get washed away in a storm? And then we feel this pervasive dis-ease with our current cultural climate, but also our current political framework, no matter the perspective you hold. It's sort of a part of things, whether we speak it or not. The misuse of the authority of Scripture That scripture, of course, this week used in conjunction with significant concerns surrounding immigration, the status of refugees seeking asylum. That there are children being separated from families at our southern border, and they have been detained. And even now, with new orders, there's still a chronic sense of wondering if those who can do things about this are really doing what they can. And it all feels a little bit big. One person said to me, "Pastor Jen, it feels helpless. It feels a little chaotic." So all of this, no doubt, brings to mind a couple of truths, things that we can see as we look at the bigger picture of what's happening in our context right now. And one truth is that we are inextricably connected to each other as human beings. We are wired in such a way where we are connected through relationships, but also we experience empathy when we see pictures, when we hear voices. We are connected. And the second truth is this, that there is considerable pain out there. The situations are different. The people are very different. All of us here are really different. But all of us have that thing, that one thing that we wonder about, that makes us maybe wonder about how we are helpless or powerless in the face of circumstances that are beyond our personal control. So then the questions kind of come in, and maybe you've wondered these things as well. What can I do? What can we do, if anything, to help in at least some way? And then the gospel gives us this snapshot of a scene. The gospel writer of Mark is really good at giving us snapshots. And what I picture is disciples bailing water from the side of the boat that's being swamped. I picture somebody being nominated to wake up Jesus. And the first thing out of their mouth is not really well thought through, because this is the Savior of the world. But that person speaks and they ask a question, and their question is, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Whenever we begin worship together, I'll admit that sometimes I check out. It's like announcements are my least favorite thing. And so sometimes I'm consumed by how to get those right. So we get to confession and forgiveness, and then my mind just goes somewhere else. Maybe it's that way for you too. It's sort of a transition to the beginning of worship. But listen to how we started today. All of us, we said, we put ourselves first and others last. We said that what we think will make us happy leaves us longing for more. Even when we want to do what is good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Isn't it kind of interesting that we start worship that way? If worship is about gathering to praise God, to be nourished and fed at the table, to experience Christ's presence through one another, we start by telling the truth of things, that we are inextricably connected to each other. And yet for all of that connection, there is just as much disconnect going on inside of us and around ourselves. So we said that we are captive. That was the word we used. We are captive to the power of sin that is dwelling inside of us. Held under the thumb of this reality that no matter how hard we try to get it right with each other, we just don't 100% of the time. Sometimes we are actually helpless. And so we'll hear it in a little bit. When Adeline is baptized, there's going to be this introduction paragraph that talks about what baptism does. And in this congregation, we hear it a lot. But there's a little line that popped for me today, and that line is, we are born children of a fallen humanity. We're born that way. We're born helpless. But through water and God's Spirit, we are reborn children of God, made members of the church, the body of Christ. Living with Christ and in the communion of saints, we grow in faith and love and obedience to the will of God. Sometimes that brokenness that is born inside of us gets out through the things that we say or don't say. And because we do have power, we do have agency when it comes to how we are with ourselves and with one another, we also acknowledge that we do have power to create pain. So there is pain out there, and we're a part of it. Powerlessness isn't pleasant to think about, nor is it pleasant to preach about. But I'm beginning to wonder if we start there at that point in our worship together, because when we acknowledge our powerlessness, that's a profound starting place for God to start God's work inside of our hearts. That's an incredible place for God to begin with us, to bring peace to the chaos of the storm. There's a reason that admitting one's own powerlessness over alcohol is the first of the 12 steps in AA. For in doing so, it paves the way forward toward the other steps, toward healing and progress that may previously have been really hard to find were it not first the telling of the truth about the situation. But then picture these disciples drenched from head to toe, trying to navigate their balance as they survive. It had probably been a really long day for them. We didn't hear it in the lectionary passage, but if you back up a little bit, it says, on that day when evening had come. So when we back up a little bit further, we see that Jesus had spent the whole entire day teaching about the kingdom of God. And there were crowds everywhere. And Jesus says, let's go to the other side. Jesus doesn't say, let's have a meal, let's rest. Jesus says, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side. Chances are, in addition to navigating that circumstance, these guys are also just totally tired from being inextricably connected to each other and because there's pain out there, and that makes us tired. So from the previous part of this text, we know Jesus had been teaching about the kingdom of God. Pastor Craig had a beautiful sermon on a couple of those parables last week. One was about the kingdom of God being like a person that scatters seeds, and they just grow, and they don't know how they grow, but they grow. And there's a harvest. In the same way, the kingdom of God grows among us. We don't know how, but there's a harvest. And then he preached about a parable that the kingdom of God is like this tiny little mustard seed. That when it's planted in the ground, it grows and becomes something. Something beautiful and productive, like providing a home even for the birds of the air, as this mustard seed stretches out its branches into the sky. So that's what Jesus taught them. Then he said, let's get in the boat. Let's go to the other side. And now it seems like the disciples have thrown the teaching about the kingdom of God totally out the window because, let's face it, there's a crisis. We have to deal with what's in front of us, Jesus. And he has the gall to be asleep in the back of the boat? How is that even possible? And things seem powerless. So they wake Jesus up, and Jesus wakes up. And when they ask, teacher, don't you care that we are perishing? Instead of answering their question, Jesus just shows them his response, that he does care. So he rebukes the wind. That's a really strong word, by the way. He rebukes the wind, and he says to the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceases, and there is a dead calm. The Greek is nekron, as in like dead, dead. Still calm. So it would seem that where others are powerless in that boat, it's Christ's power that stops the storm. And the disciples say to one another, who is this? So it would seem, even in the chaos of our day-to-day life, in this day and age, that it is still Christ's power, that it is still the witness of you, Christ's people, one to another, that it is still the Holy Spirit that has the capacity to bring peace in the storm. And we pray that when we pray the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power. Yours, God. It's yours. Fred Rogers, Mr. Rogers, once famously said, "When I was a boy and I would see scary things in the news, my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.'" So I was doing that this week. I was looking for helpers. And I remembered the work of Amparo. Amparo is a ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, our larger denomination. And it was adopted in 2016, so a couple of years ago, at our previous church-wide assembly. The word amparo in Spanish means the protection of a living creature from suffering damage. But amparo is itself an acronym that stands for accompanying migrant minors with protection, advocacy, representation, and opportunities. Amparo. So long before this week, long before now, the body of Christ was at the storm at our southern border, doing the work of showing up, doing what Christ does, bringing peace through advocacy, through accompaniment of people willing to offer their help in the situation, through the provision of actual resources, not to mention the gift that the gospel brings all of us, which is hope. So if you'd like to learn a little bit more about Amparo, I'll just point you to elca.org. But here's a brief summary from the church, from our denomination's website. Amparo was envisioned after witnessing the plight of children who are forced to flee their communities because of complicated and interrelated reasons, including chronic violence, poverty, environmental displacement, and lack of opportunity in El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala. Due to our connection to companion churches in the region, including companion synod relationships, so like our church is partnered with South Africa, others are partnered in these countries, and existing ministries in the United States, the ELCA is well positioned to help ensure that these vulnerable children are protected. In a holistic whole church response that connects international and U.S. outcomes, the ELCA has developed a strategy based on these commitments to uphold and guarantee basic human rights and safety of migrant children and their families, to address the root causes of migration in countries from Central America's Northern Triangle and Mexico in the treatment of migrants in transit, to work toward just and humane policies affecting migrants in and outside of the United States, and to engage as a church body with all of its companions, affiliates, and partners to respond to the migration situation and its causes, and to advocate for migrant children and their families. As brothers and sisters in Christ, the ELCA is called to bear witness to the conditions affecting so many communities around the world, and to work to find solutions that will acknowledge the humanity of all God's children. Jesus had been teaching about what the kingdom of God is like. We heard it. But then the storm. And just then, just in the storm, when we are feeling powerless, God has that power to calm even the roughest seas in the midst of every single storm. This is not because God is some kind of all-controlling God, but because in Jesus Christ, God experienced the helplessness of the cross. And it was there, in that helplessness, where God gathered up all the chaos and said to it all, "It is finished. Peace, be still." So that's the peace that dwells inside of you. That's the peace. It's Christ's peace. We'll share it again in a little while. We'll say the peace of Christ is with you. And you'll say kindly, and also with you, Pastor Jen. And then we'll share that peace. It's not our own peace. It's the peace of Christ that we share with one another on behalf of everyone, which becomes the source of our power and our agency, so that we are not powerless, but it is God's power in us. And we hear it again and again and again, that through Christ, nothing can separate us from God's love, and that in Christ we are made whole, and that in Christ we have what we need: forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation. May it be so for the world. Let us pray. Oh God, where hearts are fearful and constricted, grant courage and hope. Where anxiety is infectious and widening, grant peace and reassurance. Where impossibilities close every door and window, grant imagination and resistance. Where distrust twists our thinking, grant healing and illumination. Where spirits are daunted and weakened, grant soaring wings and strength and dreams. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.